This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to the Above the Line podcast. I'm Scott and we're back here with Paulie B. Welcome again, mate.
Thank you, brother. Good to be back.
Good to have you here. Really enjoyed our chat last episode around some of those parallels between sports and business. And I think, you know, covered some pretty interesting points there that I'm sure will resonate with a lot of people. And yeah, it was really interesting, some of the insights you shared.
Yeah. I think it's probably more interesting, right? I've thought about those ideas before, but probably never verbalized it as much or articulated as much as what I did then. So that was quite interesting. Like, did that just sort of to flow out and sort of sit back and actually go, oh, actually, there's more parallels there than we probably choose to recognize or actually apply to.
Oh, mate, we could talk a lot about it, I reckon, from a team level, from an individual level, from a culture level.
Oh, back house level, right? You know, we've got the front end and the back end of the staff as well, and from the top down to the people out there doing it, which don't get the recognition as well. Behind the scenes staff, you know, physios, memberships, goes on and on and on, right? That's like literally pretty cool.
It's probably a shame that a lot of those people don't get recognised as much.
Definitely. They probably all deserve a championship ring as well, right? But it's only the basketball, for instance, 12 players on the court, they're the only ones that get it. They get the championship banner, they get the party. You'd be surprised if half of those main players know most of those people behind the scenes. Doubt they probably do.
Definitely.
There'd be very few that do.
Doubt that they appreciate it. Yeah. Some of my experiences with some of those higher level.
Probably getting paid 10,000 times as much as what they do too.
Yeah. So, shout out to those grinders, supporters, you know, the ones.
Volunteers, there's so many volunteers in it too.
Yeah, we see you and we appreciate you.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and I've been in that before too, in that world, and volunteered, sat on boards and sort of done it from the back end as well as the front end, from the court side of things. So, seen both lights of it, seen both harsh realities of it. So, definitely, I think there is a lot of unrecognition that goes on behind the scenes, which probably needs to be shine a bit of spotlight on them. So,
100%. Well, chat flowed so well, we just sort of rolled into another episode. I didn't even get a chance to sort of get into any sort of line of questioning that I had planned, although there wasn't a lot of planning. It was sort of like 2 points. But, really enjoyed where the chat went to. And like I said, I think we could probably focus a bit more on there, but we won't. I'm just keen to throw some questions at you around personal growth and things like that and what your journeys looked like. The podcast Above the Line, which you very well articulated and shared a bit of insight around what that means for you. I guess just to lead us off with maybe an easy question, what is the meaning of life to you, Paulie?
Ooh, what is this? Easy, yeah?
I was just trying. Are you going to have a crack at answering?
I'll give you a crack at that, yeah.
Nah, I think, this is a lot about this podcast is about Charles and I sharing our personal growth journeys, being a bit vulnerable, sort of sharing where we're at with things and how we approach things. So just real interested, how would you sort of describe or how do you see your personal growth journey? Because I know there's been a bit to it. What is it? What does it look like? What does it mean for you?
Yeah, personal growth.
Something more conscious that you do now as opposed to before, and
personal growth is an interesting one for me. It's probably happened organically rather than consciously for me. Like I've never, that's not true. I've only probably recently had more intent with personal growth. That's what I mean by consciously.
That's cool.
makes more sense.
Throughout my career, my life, it's just organically happened without me really being self-aware of what was going on. And if I refer back to that same GM that I had, my mentor at the time, he was probably the one that started it for me. And I didn't realize till after I left that business what he was actually doing.
Yeah.
And some of the things he was trying to do for me in that personal growth space. So even through my sport, it was never really intently there for me, although it was happening. I was never really paying much attention to what was really going on. I wasn't living with intent to actually sort of develop in that space as rapidly as what I probably could have if I applied some of the processes which I have done in the recent years, right? So, but the personal growth piece for me has probably happened in the last, I think maybe last 5 years, maybe 4 years or so, where, and probably more so, I think ever since I met Hayley as well, has probably enhanced that significantly.
What was it about meeting Hayley that makes you think?
Oh, she brought probably a bit more focus to my life. Yeah, I was, you know, I'm quite ADHD. I'm, you know, if people who know me, I'm extremely energetic and very rarely sit still. So I'd chase the shiny things all the time. I was here, there, everywhere, you know. Like I could be in six rooms at one time for some reason.
A cat and a laser.
Oh, mate. Oh, that's a great analogy, right? Cat chasing a laser, but there's 17 lasers going. And which one do you pick? That was me. And that was me up until, like, you know, my 30s, man. Like, that's crazy. So Hayley came along and she brought this sense of calm to my life, which I had been missing, right? And so... With that came a lot more self-awareness, a lot more attention to being, actually, how can I develop myself to be better professionally, career. I became career-orientated. I had some aspirations of achieving some career success, which I'd never had thought about in the past. And with that, I had to, you know, figure out how am I going to grow. And what does that entail? What does that mean? What does that look like? How do I do it? And probably... it would have been 3 years ago, you know, it took me, I read my first book. And the first book I ever read, bro, it took me 2 years to read it. Like, that's my attention span, right? And it wasn't even a hard book, it was a Bear Grylls book. And, you know, I love Bear Grylls. But it took me 2 years to read it. And I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, Hayley, I finished this book you bought me for my birthday 2 years ago. But that's still the start, that sort of sparked something. And then when I started, when I did 75 Hard for the first time, that was probably the real kickstarter for me. You know, you're forced to read, you know, not forced to, no one's forcing you, you're doing it yourself, accountability, right? 10 pages a day, and that's, you know, it's professional development book. So that was probably the aha moment of, actually, there's more to me which I haven't tapped into yet, which I'm sort of leaving on the table by not choosing to grow or develop.
And I guess as well, you know, it's real interesting around that. That 75 Hard was probably, you know, the doorway to a lot of this. And I wonder if that's, you know, was a factor, and that was, you know, your background in sports and the discipline and training and things like that, that you could apply to an element around personal growth and sort of use that discipline as a way, well, one, to get through 75 Hard, which is no easy feat, you know, for many out there. To apply that those concepts with some elements that are seen to help with personal development.
Yeah, interestingly, like with me and sport, I was never really disciplined.
Yeah,
I was just naturally good at what I was doing.
Were you talent, no work?
Yeah, basically, I was, man. No work outside of trainings. And not until the last couple of years I played, I sort of was putting in work 5 a.m. I was getting up, I was in the gym, I was working out, I was doing one-on-ones with the coaches. Probably for the last 3 to 4 years of my career I was doing that, but the six prior...
man, just rocking up.
I'd rock up to training, kick everyone's ass and leave, and, you know, sweet. It was all good. And even through before I was even in that professional space, like with school, even at the school level where I was sort of excelling, but I put in no work, man. Even my dad, I remember my dad pulled me aside one day and he's like, man, if you just put in like 1% more, he's like, you're already at the top. If you just did 1%, like, if you just imagine if you just what you tried. Could do. Yeah, he's like, just imagine what. I was like, oh yeah, I was out there for about a week shooting, you know, and at nighttime shooting shots out and outside in the grass because we had the court that had my basketball hoop at, and I was on the grass. So I was out there, you know, till it was dark shooting hoops all night long. That lasted about 2 weeks. And I had enough of this. You know, back on my bicycle or skateboard or something, because that just, you know, I didn't have. So I was, unfortunately, I was naturally really gifted that I didn't have to actually apply much. And unfortunately, and I wish I did. Like, you know, I wish I had the same mindset now as I did then, because I always wonder, geez, what if?
Yeah.
And I had some pretty good opportunities from it even still. But, you know, there's always a what if there of like, man, if I just did, if I had the work ethic I had now at 40 that I had at like 30 even, or even 25, like, holy, probably be a pretty big, like, pretty... Yeah. Unstoppable force, and no matter what I was doing, it didn't matter if it was sport or workforce or life, anything, probably would have been a pretty different outcome. Potentially, maybe, I don't know, but you know, you never know. Don't regret anything, like, you know, lived it to the full, but it's just, it's always interesting going, man.
No point in regretting.
No, yeah. No, that's right, no, I don't regret anything, but you just sort of wonder, geez, if I just applied myself a bit more, that, I wonder what would have happened. Scary thought.
All right, so just to clarify, it wasn't the discipline that put into the personal growth stuff, and Paulie
just excelled.
And Paulie, for half of us, is that guy that we really dislike.
So is he's the podcast over?
Sweet. Natural and no work, so sweet. Screw you. No. Okay, well, all right, so that's cool. That's all right. We're not here, you know, just here to unpack some stuff. So, like, what's been the 75 hard you mentioned? What's been some other sort of real beneficial, I guess, growth-oriented elements for you personally, like thinking back?
It's pretty hard for me to define a moment or specific things. Like, it's 75 hard was, look, I can go all in or all out. And when I go all in, it's pretty scary what I can achieve. And 75 hard sort of showed that to me. Like, I didn't, I've done it, you know, 3 times now. 3 years in a row, I've done 75.
You on it now or
nah? Nah. I just started applying some of the systems again. All systems, you know, I love systems.
It's live, isn't it? Right brainer.
Applying some of the disciplines just to give myself a bit of kick in the ass to get going again, right? But the main reason why I'm not doing 75 hard is because I have no moderation. I can't do moderation, so I'm trying to find this balance of don't have to go extreme left or extreme right. I can sit somewhere probably more to the, you know, halfway between left and middle of extreme. So I need to find that balance. And so, no, I'm not doing 75 hard, but I'm you know, trying to train twice a day and reading again, just keeping a clean diet, always taking the water anyway, so that's all right. But not as strict as those rules are generally, and so pretty hard. And that's actually a bigger challenge than 75 hard is. But, you know, 75 hard, the reading, I picked up the reading, enjoyed actually reading, found that I actually could enjoy sitting still something for maybe only half an hour at max.
Because now you get through quite a, you know, continued with that.
Yeah, continued with that. Love buying books, love going to book fairs, you know. And
do you like... you know, a lot of people, like, I know Charles prefers audiobooks.
Nah, can't stand
prefer the OG. Just
yeah, look, I should. Page. Oh, the problem with audiobooks is I always feel like I should be having a conversation with them. And like, I want
talking to the author.
Yeah, like, I almost like want to stop and just ask a question when I'm listening to it. But when I read it, I don't quite have the same
tendency.
So audiobooks don't really sit with me. I wish they did, because I spend so much time traveling. For work, that I could smash through some audiobooks if I did, but they just don't quite hit home for me, so I've never ever got into them.
I find them hard to track as well, especially when driving. I prefer to opt over a podcast episode than an audiobook, which I can sort of get a bit more.
But that's where the, you know, an understanding of personal growth probably started for me, was from the reading point of it. You know, David Goggins' book, I sort of understood a bit more about motivational tendencies and drive and discipline and the desire to keep going and the mind and how powerful the mind is, and carried on from there and wanted to learn more. And then just sort of one book just led me to wanting to go more, and I sort of found myself on this journey of discovery and like, well, what's next? What else is out there? What else don't I know? Turns out I don't know much. But the problem is I have with reading is I don't retain information really quickly. I retain information by doing. So reading for me is hard, right? So that's part of this whole growth, right? So I learned some things, some more stuff, even though I knew that, but I probably, hence why I struggled at school. It was just like that learning through reading and note-taking is not my forte. So it was just, some good discovery from reading and personal growth and you know, wanting more, wanting to learn more. But then at the same time, I still don't live with an intent of, you know, I hang my hat on personal growth as my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense. Whereas some people are like, you know, personal growth, that's me. Like, you know, like yourself, like, right, you're very big on it. You're an advocate for it. You talk about it. You preach it. You live by it. I don't live in that world.
Yeah.
But I'm happy and open about it.
Yeah. I think as well that, you know, talks to, you know, my last keynote, the left and the right brain, like I tend to be more systems oriented. So I tend to like the idea of
you're pretty structured, right?
Systemizing that growth in my life and following it.
Yeah. Whereas me being right-sided, you know,
more creative,
I'm more flow. I go with the flow, go with the feel, what feels right, what, you know, what do I notice from doing this or reading this, and that's where I need that sort of flexibility to roll in and out of stuff. Whereas a lot of the personal growth books and that, or being personal growth orientated, it's quite rigid with this, so I struggle with that. So that's why I sort of tend to just sort of wave in and out.
Hey, man, you just do it in your own Paulie B way.
That's right. Well, it works for me, right?
There's no right or wrong in the space. Yeah. I think, you know, we forget that. It's like, it's like, as long as you're sort of going in with that intention and sort of desire.
Yeah, open mind, right? Yeah. As long as you're open-minded about it and you're not detracting from other people's way of wanting it or letting them believe what they want to believe it is, there's no problem with it. Do it however, whatever that means, and it's all good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of me, you know, and I don't, you know, I used to think of personal growth as a bit like, ooh, you're such a, like, okay, well, settle down, like, you know. I'm the jock of the school and you're just the geek trying to learn more. Like that's probably the thought process I had of it growing up, whereas now I'm like, oh, actually, no, it's nothing about that at all.
It's actually super cool.
Whatever, Scott. Go back to math class.
Go back to my happy place.
Well, I don't know. What about you?
What about me?
About personal growth. Like what's your thoughts on that in that way of thinking?
I mean, mine's quite deep. I think, like, there is a part of me inside that is just continuously striving to be the best human that I can be. And that's in many, many spaces between a physical context, a mental, a spiritual, the love around me and the relationships I have. I'm just sort of, even now, I just feel like my growth journey's just been, you know, accelerated a whole lot more in terms of my focus and intention to be living in an optimum life type thing, you know, to be, but it is just that striving for to be the best version of me, but it's also underlined by the fact that I live this, you know, life through better never stops. So it's a never-ending pursuit, and that aligns with what growth is. Like, growth doesn't stop, and so I'm just here to live my best life, and in doing so, influence and impact those around me in a positive manner to help them see their own sort of light and impact that they can bring to the world. Mm. I guess that's sort of like where this all stems. Like, I am trying to be the best. There's two elements, and this is where I get a little bit confused around. Is it selfish or is it selfless? Because I will be selfish to give me what I need.
Mm.
But I do that to give others, to have more to give to others.
Yeah.
And that's as well as in a financial sense, as well as in everything else that we just touched on. So it's like, yeah, there's an internal drive in me, man, just to push and, yeah, like, Brink just comes back to that, just being the best me I can be. I think, you know, life is, if you're not sort of like
that way oriented, I feel like you're somewhat missing out on what life has to offer. Like, I don't know if it's like that. And each to their own. It's just sort of the path that I'm choosing. And things can change. This could just be a chapter in how focused I am.
That's cool. Like, that's it's pretty cool to hear you articulate that, like, that into that level. Like, I know, like, I'm definitely living to try and be the best I can be. But I don't necessarily do it for my, if more than anything, I'll probably do it for Hayley, right? To try and be the best I can be for her, or let her be the best she can be.
Yeah, I mean,
but I probably don't hang my head on that like you do. It's different, and I come in and out of it pretty flippantly, and only because, like, I think I struggle with it because I've seen so many versions of the best I can be.
Oh, yeah.
That I actually don't know what the best is, so I get, it's a hard measure for me. It's a really, I can't call it that because I don't know how to actually sit with it. Like, I don't, like, I could feel like I'm the best I ever am, but yet I'm going, oh, but there's probably some more there. So actually, I'm not actually my best. So it's actually quite self-sabotaging. But it's just that's that whole. This is me, that competitive mindset again, well, right? That I come in.
Thing, like, you're yeah. never the best you can be.
That's right.
You know, I think I'm going to butcher it, but Matthew McConaughey sort of had that thing.
Don't butcher it, man. That's my guy.
My guy first. Green light. Nah,
Magic Mike. God, you do not know Magic Mike.
I said he was your guy, actually.
You did tell me that. He's my guy.
But yeah, very, very cool guy. His way about life is very, very...
Love it.
Yeah. But his quote's like, I want to be... Like he said, my role model is me in the future, or like me in 10 years.
Yep.
Like, that's who I want to live up to. I want to be that guy.
Yep.
And I think that's sort of a little bit around what, you know, I think we talk about. It's like, you know, to be your own role model in the future, to aspire to be that person.
It's pretty hard though, right? If you don't feel like you are the best version of yourself though, what sort of space does that put you in?
Good question. So one, I make peace that I'm not at my best ever and accept that, and that the strive is always going to be there. There's no outcome that's achievable in that pursuit. I think does it stop me from enjoying the present? I guess it's probably more so what you're...
Yeah, like it can put you to a dark place, right, in terms of, well, I look at it more when people around you don't see this best version of yourself and they're like, oh, what's wrong with you? You're okay. Like, oh, geez, you're not the life of the party today. What's wrong with you? But you could still be thriving. But if they're not seeing that version of you that is elite, you could still be top of your game, right, but you're not that best version, then there's an element there of, oh, something's wrong with him.
Yeah, it's interesting, eh? Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. It sums up. I've just started reading Think Like a Monk.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a phrase in there that, again, I may butcher. It's, I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what I think you think I am, but I am what I think you think I am. That's a bit...
You're right, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess, and so like taking that's just sort of letting go of, I think one, it's just bringing awareness that's sort of, we're defining ourselves by what we think others think we are.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bit of a mental trap and a way to not, or to create frustration and pain. So I can't control people's thoughts in that. So I think like a part of that is like, I don't need for people to know that I'm at my best.
No.
And that's a work on, because, like, you know, we have these, we want to sort of portray stuff, you know, we don't, I think, you know, for my parents, I won't, there's challenges that we go to that we don't share, and it's sort of the other way, it's like under the surface, we're not feeling the most confident, we're not feeling the best or the most self-esteem or self-worth. But we try to hide that as opposed to feeling our best and not coming out. Like, I think it's more likely that if you are feeling your best, people could feel that but it's the hiding when you're not feeling the best is the challenge that I will tend to pick and choose and who I share that with. That's why I have such close, a very few close friends. I refer to them as my inner circle. You know.
Well, to be fair though, those people will probably pick it up, I think, generally pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They know and that's probably a part of just living unfiltered around those people as well though, right?
Yeah.
So,
and that's a part of, like, you know, my journey is just trying to break that down. You know, we used to talk about Business Scott, and you know, he still features every now and then. And in my keynote, you know, there's Business and then there's Rebel, and it's like these two are sort of fighting over each other. And there was like that gap, those two lives type thing. So I'm just trying to focus on aligning them to be at peace with where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And that could be another way. It's just like, you know, I think aside from all that strive and determination to be the best, it's layered with like love for myself,
acceptance for others, as well,
and gratitude for where I'm at and who's in my life, you know, including yourself, including Charles, my family. That gives me that joy and peace in life. And
tough though. Tough when you're trying to be the best you can be and the best you want to be, and then yet at the same time, when you're not quite that best, although that best that you drop down to is probably the best that you were, was probably better than from 2 weeks ago, but it's the new bottom, right? So essentially all you're doing is your floor is becoming higher and higher and higher.
Bar's always rising.
That's right.
Bro, so, it's the 1% better every day.
Jesus.
Which, like, doesn't fit in the system, like, you know, very well. But, like, the concept's there and the idea.
There you go. You've just articulated 1% better every day as the floor's coming up another degree.
Yeah, you can't go back.
Your floor's just essentially
but
raising.
But that's what that's why I challenge it. Because who's tracking the floor?
Yeah. Because it's always only you.
It's like, it doesn't matter if you're 1% better every day and then, like, one day you're 30% worse.
Yeah, right.
But, nah.
But your 30% worse is still probably going to be better than it was, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah,
it's part of personal
exponential
growth.
It's exponential, small gains, and
if you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the AccessMedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.